name of Jesus. As we go into the Word of God, we pray that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Teach us something new today. Remind us of some old stuff, Lord, and help us and encourage us to go back to things we used to know but which we have left. In Jesus' name, thank you for this church. Thank you for all the helpers you are sending in the name of Jesus. Thank you for musicians. Thank you for singers. Thank you for helpers. Because you said you will release laborers into the work if we ask you. And so we thank you. We receive all the help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow, you may be seated. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's a blessing. Hallelujah. Right. I want us to sing a song before we go into the Word. Before I preach, I want to sing a song. All of us says we will remember because great is your faithfulness. Amen. So if you don't mind, please stand to your feet again. If I had remembered, I wouldn't have asked you to sit down. So forgive me. Just please stand to your feet again and let's sing the song if we have it. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have it? All right. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. You're our creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comfort, our joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. Through signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, you've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. Sing, we will remember, we will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. Next verse. When we go through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will say, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is the faithful one. Sing hallelujah, 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 to the one from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah, 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 to the one whose glory has been shown. We will remember, oh, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hand. We will stop, oh, and give you praise, your great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, come on, we will remember, we will remember. No, it's a different verse. That day you saved me, that day I heard you call out my name. That's right. You said you loved me, and we're never leaving, and I'll never be the same. Oh, we will remember. We will remember. Oh, we will remember the works of your hand. We will stop. We will stop and give you praise for great is our faithfulness. Oh, we will remember. Oh, we will remember. We will remember the works of your hand. We will stop, we will stop, and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
And it's a great weekend, especially for those of you who graduated. You know, you should remember.
Amen.
Amen. But God has been good to you. It's not been easy, but it has worked out. Amen.
Amen.
And we're grateful to the Lord for everything. Please be seated and let's go to the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure we miss our brothers and sisters who are attending the conference this weekend. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know, it also tells you how important things can be taken for granted.
Yeah.
You know, people who substantially contribute to your life can be taken for granted, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I called Pastor Henry this morning. He's totally confused in his house just to get two small children to come to church with him. You know, he was just confused. You see, but his wife has been there, and every morning she would do this and get them ready and get herself ready, and they would come, and he would just come and sit in the church. Man of God. You know. So as I've been here today, I'm beginning to appreciate and really to feel the importance of all these people who contribute. Pastor Munene, Lady Pastor Kwele, you know, my two sons, Lady Pastor Sarah, and all these people who even their physical presence,
yeah,
do you see, helps to make a big difference. Amen.
Amen.
And so let's appreciate the people that God gives to us, not just these people, but I mean, all of us have people in our lives who contribute significantly to your life, but you don't know it. You are just used to having them around. You see, it's like water. Nobody turns on the tap and say, praise God, there's water. You assume it's going to be there. But when they shut the water off for just a few minutes or hours, you start to see that your life is very different. You begin to get irritated. Hallelujah. And so let's be careful that we don't despise and disregard, ignore, and treat lightly important people who are in our lives. Do you see? Because otherwise God will take them away. Amen. So let's be careful with that. Hallelujah. Now, it's also a message to us that we all need to rise up and contribute what we can to the building of the house of God. Amen.
Yeah.
I believe there are more people here who can help. More of you can help to play the instruments. More can help to learn the technical things, how to set it all up and how to put it together. We need more and more. And ladies can do it too.
Yeah.
Amen. Ladies can do it. It's not a guy's job. It's for everyone. Hallelujah. And sometimes ladies do a better job at many things that have been traditionally associated with men. Hallelujah. The other day I, you know, flew from wherever and I came. Then as we were getting off the plane, I saw that the lady, the pilot was a lady. I said, hey, this big thing. We were being chauffeured by this little woman here. It's amazing. Amen. So we really need your contribution, because you do know that we'll be leaving. And when we do leave, it is going to look like this. Hallelujah. And we really need you to rise up and help and do your best so that God's work can continue in this place. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Today I want to share with you a very short message that has a title, Little Acts, Great Rewards. Little Acts, Great Rewards. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, this morning, like I said, it is graduation weekend. And after so many years of going to school and so many years of doing assignments and getting grades and attending lectures, you know, some of them you understood, some you didn't understand, you know, writing different exams and tests and so on, the weekend finally came when you were rewarded or given what you deserved for what you have done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, some people were excited. Others were probably disappointed because they were expecting to be rewarded like others were rewarded. But they did not realize that your reward is determined by your effort and what you did. Hallelujah. Now, unlike something like a salary which you work to earn, or even a gift which you do nothing to get, it's just given to you. Rewards, you have to qualify for it. Amen. You have to qualify for a reward before it comes to you. Now, the Bible teaches that God is a rewarder. Hallelujah. If you read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says it is impossible to please God without faith. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
That God is a rewarder of people who are serious with seeking Him. Amen. God is a rewarder. God rewards people. He rewards people. God rewards people. And if you serve God faithfully and truthfully, sincerely and properly, God will reward you, because you will qualify for a reward. When the time comes, it will not be withheld from you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You will get what you have qualified for. You will get what you have worked hard for, what you have contributed and what you have done. God will reward you with it. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, when God rewards people, He usually gives them things they cannot give to themselves. Amen. In fact, the essence of a reward is usually that you cannot give the thing to yourself. That is why it becomes a reward. You see, if you could just have it for yourself, it would not be a reward. It would lose some of its rewarding essence. Do you see? But one of the unique characteristics of rewards is that it's something you cannot give to yourself. And God will reward you in things and in ways that you cannot give to yourself. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Bible talks about a prudent wife. It says a prudent wife is from the Lord. Like, to marry somebody who is prudent is from the Lord. It comes from God. God can reward you with a wife who is prudent. Prudent means, you know, give me, those of you who have the iPad and iThings, just look in the dictionary and tell me the meaning of the word prudent. Just real quick. Hallelujah. Yeah. The prudent wife. You see, the Bible says that one, she comes from God. You see, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14. The Bible says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Can you see that? So, for example, if you have a good father who is rich, you know, you may easily inherit a house from him, isn't it? Yeah, he worked hard, he's a rich father, he has a house, you know, the time has come for him to leave the earth. He passes it on to you. Suddenly, you who has never even known where they sell cement or sheetrock or any of the things he used to build house, you have become a landlord. Do you see what I'm saying? Just like that. But not so with having a prudent wife. You know? So when a man is getting married, there is no place where you can go to and say, over here, aisle 29, prudent wives. There is no such place. You can choose a beautiful woman. You can choose a tall one. You can choose a short one. You can choose a dark skinned one, light one. But you can't put the prudence in the wife. Do you see what I'm saying? That one comes from God. It comes from God. It is God who gives people that. Hallelujah. Amen. Good health also is a reward from God. God can reward you with good health. God can bless you with good health, that you will live a long time without many complicated health issues. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if you understand life, you realize, in fact, the other day I was just thinking that for the fact that we have only one life, there are too many things that can destroy it, that can end it. Wow. It's almost unfair that if you have one life, there shouldn't be so many things that can end it. Such that when you secure yourself from one, it is no security at all. Because there are so many other things that can still get you. It's like someone who hides into a room and or runs into this place, and then you lock this door. But then there's this door and this door, and there are two others on the other side that remain open that you can't lock, and you are saying you are secure. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You realize that being in good health, only God can give that to you. God will bless you. I was reading a verse the other day. He said, look, I will bless your bread and your water, and I will not allow certain diseases to come upon you. He said, the diseases that are put on the Egyptians, I will not allow them to come to you, and I'll bless your bread and your water. That means that the things you eat, you know, can kill you if they are not blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So the things that can kill a person, I mean, you can eat healthy and die in a plane crash. That has nothing to do with food, as it happened to some people last night. Do you see what I'm saying? And so many different things. But God can reward you with good health. Can I have an amen? Amen. God can reward you with good health. Another common reward that comes from the Lord is good children. Amen. Yeah, God can reward you, first of all, even with children. And then God can reward you with children who are good. Because you can have children who just give you nightmares. They make you miserable. You wish you had not had them. You wish they were not there. I mean, in this country, we've heard of people who shot their children because their child was giving him too much trouble. It was too much of an embarrassment to him. Like the guy called Marvin Gaye. Was he not shot by his father? Yeah? You see, I think his father was supposed to be a pastor. Yeah? His father was supposed to be a pastor, and now his son was making songs about sexual healing and all these things. Do you see? So I don't know where the story very well, but I just remembered it. Hallelujah. So having good children, after all your effort, after going to taking them to school, taking loans to look after them, you know, sending them abroad to school, you know, there are some of these people who are graduating this weekend. They have been supported by parents from Ghana and other places. Parents who earn their whatever money they have, and they are able to convert them into dollars and support them from here. I tell you, then after all the struggles and everything, the child comes to nothing. You know, I heard the story of a man who built a house and struggled so much. He built a house with air conditioners and so on, and then he died. When he died, one of his sons inherited the house. So he started life with a house full of air conditioners and so on and so forth. But this son was a drunkard. So he removed one of the air conditioners from one of the bedrooms. Then he took it to a drinking place. And then he asked the owner of the drinking place, put a value on this. You know, and then the guy assessed it and put a value. Let's say he says it's worth $100. So the son says, every time when I come and I drink, remove it from the air conditioner. You see, so he would come and then he would drink for the day. He said, how much air conditioner is left? You see, so he did that until he drank the first air conditioner. When the first air conditioner was finished, he went to remove the second one and he brought it and repeated the process, and then went for the one in the third bedroom and he brought it, repeated the process, and he took the one in the living room until he had drunk all the air conditioners in the house. Can you imagine the sweat and the effort of his father that has gone into providing something like that, and then the person just throws it away because it has landed in the hands of a foolish son. And it's in the Bible. The Bible says that a man can sweat and work hard, and he does not know who is coming after him and what he is going to do with all the efforts that you have made. Do you see what I'm saying? You are going to struggle, sometimes even at the cost of your health. You know, working 2-3 jobs, 4 jobs. You know, I met a lady the other day who told me that she worked 4 jobs for so many years, and now her health is severely compromised and she cannot do those things anymore. See, and as she was working all those years, there was somebody on the side who was just chopping all the money. And now that she can't work so hard, that person is no longer in her life either. You see, so a good child is a reward. A good husband is also a reward from God. Because some people can be very wicked. Do you understand? Yeah. I mean, the nature of marriage is such that it puts someone in authority over you. Now, when that person is a wicked person, and that person does not fear God, you are in a very, very dangerous situation. You are in a very, very precarious situation that can make your life very miserable. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So God rewards people, and we have to look up to Him and look at the things that God rewards and serve Him properly so that He can reward us, so we can qualify for the rewards that He gives to people. Yeah. Say amen if it's making sense to you. Right. Now, if you go in your Bible to Colossians chapter 3, you're going to see over there the Bible talking about, or to different groups and categories of people. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's read from verse 18, or let's do it from verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Hallelujah. So that's the prelude to what he's about to say. He's saying that anything you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Do it as though you were doing it for the Lord. Do you understand? Yeah. Then he starts, verse 18. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Do you see? As it is appropriate in the Lord. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them," because it's supposed to be as unto the Lord. Do you understand? We are supposed to love our wives and not be bitter against them, and because we are supposed to love her as though you are loving the Lord. Are you getting the picture? Right. Then the next one. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." In other words, God likes this. You see, and since you're going to do it as unto the Lord, this is one of the things you have to do as a child who has parents. Amen. Then he says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Do you see? Then "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Hallelujah. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ."
Hallelujah.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Yeah. So behind it all is Christ. He says it is God you are serving. You can live your life such that everything you do, you have God in mind. I tell you that if you work like that and live like that, you're going to do very well in spite of the different situations you find yourself in when you're working for people. Amen. So you can see, he says, "Wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, everybody must work and do what they're supposed to do as though they were doing it for the Lord, because ultimately we serve the Lord Christ."
Hallelujah.
Do you understand? Yeah, that's the only way you can make food for a husband who is upset with you. Because your mind has to be that I am serving the Lord Christ.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand? Yeah. That's the only reason why you can still buy a present for a wife that has not cooked for you. She cooked and she ate all. And then she left you the ingredients on the counter and said that you two come and make yours. Yeah? Did I tell you the story of a lady who made food? And then she made, you know, in Ghana they have food called fufu. And fufu is usually eaten with soup, goes with soup. Then the lady made the fufu, and it's pounded, you know, so they pounded the fufu and everything, and she left the fufu on the table, soupless. You get it? Then, when her husband came home later that day, the night, he came, and then he went to open the thing, and he saw that there's just the fufu, but there's no, so he began to call, "Where's the soup?" Then the wife comes out and she says, well, what you gave us, it only made the food. It didn't. Yeah. And the soup that we made, the soup was enough for myself and the children. You get it? So whatever you are seeing. Hey! I tell you, wickedness. Hallelujah. How did I come to that? We should do what? You must do it as though you are doing it unto the Lord. Do you understand? Yeah. Because if the Lord had not even given you enough money, you would not make food without soup and say, Lord, this is for you. Hallelujah. But that is the mind that we need to have. Look, if you follow people, you will not do well. Because people are naturally ungrateful. Amen. People are naturally ungrateful even to God who created them. So don't be surprised that they are ungrateful to you who did not create them. A person whose life depends on God is still ungrateful to God. So are you surprised that you who don't give him anything, you don't do anything for the person, are you surprised that the person is ungrateful to you? You shouldn't be surprised. Today there are people who even say there is no God at all. Yeah. They are living in his world. They are breathing his oxygen. They say he doesn't exist at all. They say to hell with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
The other day someone sent me a little sign. And the sign said, God also does not believe atheists exist. Yeah. It says God also does not believe that they are atheists. Just like atheists do not believe there is a God. He also does not believe they are atheists. And it's amazing how people can be ungrateful. But that is because people don't always understand what it takes to be who you are to them. And people are limited in what they can see. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, God does not see as man sees. Because man looks on the outward appearance. Which means, if it's not outwardly visible, a human being cannot acknowledge it. Do you understand? But it says, but God, he looks at the heart. Which means, God can acknowledge things that human beings don't acknowledge. So if you follow man and say that he didn't say thank you, he is not grateful, or he didn't do this, or he didn't do that, you're going to cut short a lot of rewards that would otherwise have come into your life, because you are basing your actions on man's response to them as opposed to God, who sees in secret and rewards openly. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it is very important that we do not look at people. We must look always at God. Hallelujah. Do it as you are doing it unto the Lord. It says, knowing that of the Lord, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. You are serving the Lord. You are not serving your husband. You're not serving your wife. You're not serving your children. You're not serving your father. You're not even serving your boss. Because many people have a bad attitude or the wrong attitude towards your work. You know, you feel like you are just someone who's slaving away for someone who's making money. But you don't even consider that the job you have is actually God's way of meeting your needs. You don't even consider that the job you have is something that God... I mean, imagine how your life would be without your job. Yeah, imagine if everything your job brings into your life was taken away. If you were left without a monthly salary or bi-weekly salary, if you were left without the health benefits, if you were left without even the routine of waking up and going somewhere, because there are many people who don't know what to do with themselves even when they are on vacation. Exactly. Because you are so used to the routine, wake up and go, wake up and go, wake up and go, so that when there you have one day that you don't have to go, you don't know what to do with yourself. And those who know what to do with themselves, they enjoy the day. You see, your weekends make sense because of your weekdays. You understand? But if you had 7 Saturdays, you wouldn't know what to do with it. But Saturdays make sense because of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday comes along and you begin to appreciate one day off. One day where you don't have to climb those stairs, one day where you don't have to go look for parking, one day that you don't have to endure some situation at work. Hallelujah. But if your mind is such that, or your mind is thinking this way, that what I am doing for the Lord. I am serving the Lord. Ye serve Christ. He says, servants, look at it, verse 22. Servants or employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. They are just your masters according to the flesh. That means human masters. Not with eye service. Not like you're trying to please them. Or as men please us. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. That means don't complain. You see, do it heartily. As unto the Lord and not unto men. It's in the Bible.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It says work, not, don't find ways to, you know, shortcuts, ways to end the thing and ways to do the thing and earn the money without working or actually doing the work that you've been hired to do. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When people are working like that with their mind that somebody's cheating them, they don't work well. Pray that you don't fall into the hands of a nurse who thinks that the hospital is cheating her. Yeah. Pray that you don't fall into the hands. Your whole life has been entrusted into the hands of a person who feels that the system is cheating her. You know, why should she get up and come to your room every time you call? Every time you push the button, why should she come and give you pain medication? You know, so sometimes it's not going to kill you. You should just be there. Hallelujah. It is something that we should develop if we're going to enjoy our lives. Amen. And the Bible says God will reward you. Your work people may not adequately reward you for the work you have done. But thank God that you did it with God in mind. So even what you will not find on the job, you may find it somewhere else in your life because God has given it to you because he thinks you have qualified for it anyway and he will roll it into your life. Can I have an amen? Yeah, you'll be surprised at things that will come into your life which did not come through the job but which are a reward for the job that you have done because God is blessing you as such. Can I have an amen? Let me show you a quick example or two of people who did something which they thought they were just doing and yet who were rewarded greatly for it. Hallelujah. One of them can be found in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 24. Well, maybe, yeah, let's just read Genesis chapter 24. Have you found Genesis chapter 24? Genesis chapter 24 is the story of how Isaac's wife was found. Abraham invited one of his servants and told him, this is from verse 1, you know, He said to the, verse 2, said to the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. He said, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by God, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The God of heaven which took me from my father's house, etc., etc. And you can read the story when you go along. So anyway, when the servant goes, the servant now is looking and wondering, how can I find a wife for my master? He's looking for a wife for the son of a very rich man. Do you understand? So they come to a place and he makes a prayer. You see, so verse 12, he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let down the pitch, thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. This is before he finished praying. Then Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. Thank God. Amen. See, he asked for a woman who is hospitable, and God is adding some bonuses. She has good looks as well. Do you see? A virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Do you see? And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. So the man was wondering at her. It says, the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. Hallelujah. He said, I was just checking to see, hey, has the Lord prospered my journey or not? Hallelujah. Now, this is a woman who was being kind to a man with no motive in mind. Hallelujah. She had no motive in mind. She was just being hospitable. Do you see? There are some of us who are not hospitable at all. We will not do anything for anyone unless we can see a direct result coming from it. Do you understand? Yeah. Sometimes some people will not be hospitable. They won't cook for anybody. They won't share their food with anyone. You know, I used to, one time somebody told me about her roommate a long time ago when we were in the university. Someone told me she had a roommate, and she's eating and somebody's coming to the room, then she just puts the food under the bed. She just slides the plate under the bed like that. It's like she won't even share her little food with anyone at all. You see, But you may not realize that that actually is costing you rather than the person you're hiding the food from. Hallelujah. Here is a lady who said, why not you ask me for water? I'll give you water. I'll give you more than you're asking for. I'll give you water, and I'm going to give water to your camels. And I'm not expecting anything. Hallelujah. And she didn't know that the good that she was doing was going to be rewarded by the Lord himself. Hallelujah. So the man was wondering if the Lord had prospered his way, you know. And her only motive was to serve, as to serve like you're doing something for the Lord. Hallelujah. To serve like you're doing something unto the Lord. And you don't know what's going to come out of it. But she didn't know that as she was doing that, she was actually becoming the wife of the person that, not the wife of the servant, but the wife of a very rich man who had been sent, whose servant had been sent to find a wife for his son. Hallelujah. So that is a very good example of something you can do and just do. You don't know what you're doing. You don't even know who you're doing it for. But from the Lord, you will have a reward. Can I have an amen? Amen. She made food. She gave the, in fact, when you read the story, let's just read on a little bit and you see. And she, verse 21, and the man was wondering whether the Lord had prospered his journey. Verse 22, and it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? See, so now the man is also pushing further because he can see that there's some good here. Hallelujah. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. He said, it's working, man. He said, do people like this exist? You know, and the lady is doing all this with nothing in mind. It's all for free. She doesn't know what prayer the servant has prayed. She doesn't know that every good she's doing is causing her to fit a certain profile that had been given for a prospective wife. Hallelujah. And so she was just doing good, you know. The man said, we need a place to stay. He said, come, we have food for you and food for the animals. And so the man bowed down his head and he worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Amen. So anyway, when you read the story, you see how it all unfolded, and in the end, this lady becomes the special wife that was being sought. Hallelujah. Yeah. Another quick example before we go. It can be found in Genesis. No, David is 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Is my message making sense to you at all? 1 Samuel chapter 24. You find another good example of somebody who did something small. And he had no idea that that little thing was going to change his life, because God was going to reward him. Hallelujah. So 1 Samuel chapter 24, and let's read from, for the sake of time, verse 16. It came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." Because this Saul was chasing David and was trying to kill him. He was trying to kill him because he felt that David had killed Goliath, and all the people were very happy with David, and he was jealous. Do you see? The song of the people and so on. And he became jealous. Said, "This is a very foolish boy who has come here, and now he wants to take my place," and so on. And he wanted to kill him. And he had gone hunting for David and couldn't find him. Then he went to rest in a cave that night. And as he was resting, David came across Saul, and he was asleep. You know, can you imagine when you come across your enemy? The enemy is sleeping. I mean, that was an opportunity for Saul to do, David to do what Saul wanted to do to him, which is to kill him. But what he did was he took a small piece of Saul's clothing just down there. He just cut a small piece of it, you know, just to give him a sign that, like this little one here, isn't it? He took a small piece, yeah, just to show you that I have the chance to repay you after the way you have been treating me. You see, which is an opportunity we all come into all the time. You will in time have an opportunity to pay back someone in the same coin with which they have also paid you. To do for them what they also did to you. Because sometimes you feel a strong need to do it so they can understand what they did. Isn't it? Because sometimes it looks as though they don't understand, or they cannot appreciate what you did, or what they did to you, and the pain it cost you. So you feel a strong edge and a strong burden that perhaps if you did the same thing to the person, then they would understand what it means to do this to someone.
Wow.
And that was the opportunity David had. When David got it, he said, "No, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. Even though he did me wrong, I'm not going to do the same thing to him." So when Saul got up and found out what had happened, he was very shocked. And that's when he said to David that, "Listen, you are more righteous than me. Because you have," he says that, "for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dwelt with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killedst me not." He said that you have shown me today how you have lived with me all along. You see, it is in this act that I have seen what has been in your heart all along. You have shown me by the fact that God gave you an opportunity to kill me and you did not kill me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the king of Israel shall be established in thine hand. The kingdom of Israel, shall be established in thy hand. Then he says unto him, "Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men got up unto the hold. Hallelujah. So here you are. David has an opportunity to kill this man, and he does not kill him. Do you understand? When you read later on, you will find that David becomes a king, and one day he's even asking, is there anybody left in Saul's house that I can just be good to, and just be nice to? Hallelujah. He had an opportunity. If David had killed this man, perhaps it may have cost him the kingdom. Do you understand? It may have cost him the kingdom. Because one of the things it would have done for him is, he would have showed his men how to treat unfaithful kings. Do you understand? Because remember this David, later on, he had a problem with this Bathsheba. He went to kill somebody and took the person's wife. But he would have shown them how we treat people, even though the person is a king, when they are wrong. This is how you treat them. But he had sown this seed, and when he was doing it, he didn't even know that his day was coming. He didn't know that there was a day coming in his future when he was going to need the lessons of today to stay alive, just like he was also sparing somebody's life. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I want to encourage all of you. I want to encourage all of you. Sometimes you can stumble into an opportunity to do good for someone, and you may not know that it is an opportunity of a lifetime. This good you are doing is going to change your life from now on forever. Everything is going to change for you because of this one thing you did. Hallelujah. Time will fail me to share with you another scripture about a woman who had nothing to eat, just her and her son. They had just a little food to eat, and that was it. Then God told a prophet to go over there. When the prophet went there, prophet asked the woman for food to eat. The woman said, as for food I have, but it's not enough. It is just a small amount. I'm going to eat it.